Turn to Proverbs 7:21. So the strange woman here has just finished her talk. She doesn't really have anything to say, anything more to say now. And now we have Solomon's commentary on what just happened, or what is happening. It says, "With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him." Let's look at that first part. "With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield." So the strange woman employed fair speech to convince this young man to come into her place. And fair is beautiful to the eye, of pleasing form or appearance, good looking, like a fair woman, right? A beautiful woman. Now, when we're talking about language or diction, it means elegant. And I'll define elegant here in just a second. Hence, fair speaker, which is what she is, fair speech. Of external manifestations, words, promises, and this would be, you know, words or speech, it's attractive or pleasing at the first sight or hearing, specious, plausible, flattering. So her speech is enticing, it sounds good, it's pleasant to the ears, it's been used to trick him. Fair speech is elegant, and elegant is tasteful, tastefully ornate in attire, sometimes in unfavorable sense, dainty, foppish. When we're talking about of composition, literary style, etc., which is what we are talking about, also of words or phrases, it's characterized by grace and refinement, pleased by minuter beauties. Of a speaker or author, it's characterized by refinement and polish of style. So this woman is, she's a smooth talker. She's slick. She's polished. She speaks very well, very fluently. It's just very appealing to listen to her talk. And despite the fact that she's dressed like a harlot and she's trying to get you to do something bad, it just sounds really good. And it just makes you drawn to her. And this is what people do that want to deceive. They use good words and fair speeches to deceive the hearts of the simple. Romans chapter 16 and verse 18. Romans 16 and verse 18. "These are people that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which we've learned, which we're supposed to avoid," there in the previous verse. "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Now this matches so well with Proverbs 7, because you remember what this young man was called in verse 7? Solomon said, "And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding." He's a simple one. Good words, fair speeches to deceive the hearts of the simple. And this is precisely what this woman is doing.
She's like a sales lady.
She is a sales lady. That's right. She's kind of like that proverbial, slick-talking, slimy sales guy that tricks people out of their money when they really should have known better. Now, her fair speech was executed masterfully. And let's just review how she did it just real quickly here. So she began by appealing to his spirituality and morality by pretending to be religious. Remember verse 14, "I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows." Then she appeals to his pride by telling him that she'd been diligently seeking him and had found him. Verse 15, "Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee." Next, she appeals to his sensuality by telling him of her ornately adorned and perfumed bed. Verses 16 and 17, "I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon." Next, she appeals to his lust by outright asking him to make love with her. Verse 18, "Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves." And then finally, she allays his fears by assuring him that her husband is not home and he's not coming back for a long time. Verses 19 and 20, "For the goodman is not at home. He's gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed." So you see that was really well done, if you think about it. She appeals to his morality and to his spiritual side, then to all of his lusts, to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and then she just needed the closer. You know, the salesman always has the closer, and you always want to address objections when you're a salesman, and you want to try to address the objections before they even come up. And so now she addresses the objections and says, and by the way, my husband's not home, and he's not coming home for a long time. And the guy's like, well, I don't have, got nothing, no reason not to come in now. I mean, she's hit every nail on the head. So the result of her fair speech was to cause him to yield. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. To yield is to surrender, give way, submit. It's to hand over, give up, relinquish, possession of, surrender, resign. To give way to persuasion. This is another definition, which is exactly what fits the context here very well. To give way to persuasion, entreaty, or the like. To cease, to oppose, or object. To submit, comply, consent. It's to submit, consent, agree, to do something, that something should be done, or to something proposed. So she caused him to yield by persuasion. Now, this is just something where you can figure out by reasoning. The fact that he was made to yield indicates that he was hesitant and was exerting some kind of resistance. Mm-hmm. We don't read about it. He doesn't say anything. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he yielded, which means that he surrendered or relinquished or, you know, was persuaded to do something that he wouldn't have normally done, else you wouldn't say he yielded, that means that he was putting up resistance. Now, the resistance could have just been body language. It could have been just a look on his face, or it could have been like, you can just tell he's just not comfortable with this or something. But all of her fair speech allays all those fears. Now he yields. He goes ahead and does what he maybe had a little bit of a qualm about. She's able to overcome his hesitation with her fair speech. And then it says, with the flattering of her lips, she forced him. To flatter is to try to please or win the favor of a person with obsequious speech or conduct, to court, fawn upon, to praise or compliment unduly or insincerely. Now, as we've looked at before, flattery is the most powerful and oft-used tool in the arsenal of a strange woman. Let me just read you the verses here, just kind of rapid fire, just to show you that this is what she uses. Proverbs 2:16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. So that defines what a strange woman is a woman that flatters with her words. Proverbs 5 and verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. That doesn't say flattery outright, but that's how flattery is done. And then 6:24 says, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman. And then 7:5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the flattery, or from the stranger which flattereth with her words. So this is how she does it, with fawning upon somebody, with speech that is over the top, unduly praise, insincere praise. You know, I've been looking for you, I've been diligently seeking you, and I finally found you, really, all this building him up and making it seem like he's just the most special guy ever that she's been looking for her whole life, and that kind of thing. That gets through to him. She's spreading a net for his feet by fawning upon him with insincere praise. Proverbs 29 and verse 5. Proverbs 29:5 says, a man, or in this case a woman, that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. This is exactly what she was doing, right? She was hunting, right? The strange woman hunts for the precious life. It says she's been looking for him. She found him finally. It says she caught him, right? Caught him and with an impudent face said unto him, and so on. So, yeah, she set the net and she trapped him in it. So by using her enticing words, she forced him into her filthy bed. To force means to use violence to violate, ravish a woman, to constrain by force, whether physical or moral, and in this case with her it's moral, to compel, to overcome the resistance of. To force one's hand means to compel one to act prematurely or to adopt a policy he dislikes. So once again, the fact that she forced him indicates that he did put up some resistance. You can't force somebody that goes completely willingly, right? I mean, when's the last time you forced me to go eat ice cream at Dairy Bee? Right? You don't have to do that, right? Nobody has to force me to do that. So he did put up a resistance. You know, maybe at first when he meets her and then she starts, well, maybe when she first just laid one on him and kissed him, maybe he's like, whoa, you know, he's kind of backing up and thinking, I need to get out of here. Maybe he tries to walk away or something and she's walking after him, telling him these things. I don't know exactly what happened, but clearly he was trying to resist in some way. But she was able to overcome that. And she is the weaker vessel. Remember 1 Peter 3:7, when it says that husbands are supposed to dwell with their wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the weaker vessel. So she couldn't have, more than likely, unless he's just some kind of a weakling or something, she couldn't have just grabbed him and, you know, threw him over her shoulder and hauled him into the bedroom or something. But she can use her words and she can carry him away just as easily. She was able to overcome that resistance and compel him to do whatever she wanted. So that takes us to verse 22. Sometimes. Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.